Acts chapter 10, please. We do thank the pastor and church for the great privilege to stand before you. We thank the church for the hospitality and wonderful meal and the fellowship of being with God's people. Acts chapter 10. Begin reading with verse 34, and we'll read to verse number 43. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost, and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses, chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." In verse number 43, we have the truth put before us that salvation is in Christ alone, through faith alone. Salvation is in no other than Christ. As we consider seeing Jesus and that being the theme of the day, there is no other person or other system or other concept or other idea that one must see to be saved other than Jesus. We see Jesus. We must see Jesus. To miss seeing Jesus and Jesus alone is to miss salvation. And we must see Jesus to live this life, to live this life victorious. In this portion of Scripture, as the Apostle Peter is being turned towards something very foreign to him, preaching and reaching out to Gentiles, he talks about salvation being in Christ alone, through faith alone. And he talks about how that during the ministry, during the lifetime of Jesus Christ, that was the message that filled all of Judea. He says in verse 37, "The word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how that God anointed Jesus." The preaching during the life of Jesus Christ was the preaching of salvation in Christ through faith in Christ. We find in verse number 42, he commanded us to preach unto the people. after the times of Jesus Christ, after his time upon earth, after his life, his death, burial, and resurrection, his ascension back to the Father, he sent the apostles to preach. What do you think they preached? Salvation in Christ alone, through faith alone. He commanded us to preach unto the people. And then in verse number 43, he says, to him give all the prophets witness. I believe the prophets that he's talking about takes us back into the Old Testament times. I firmly believe, and I'm sure everybody here agrees, that there's always only been one way of salvation in all ages. Old Testament times, New Testament times, salvation has always been the same. People have always been saved the same way. It's always been in Christ alone, in the Messiah alone, through faith alone. The gospel of the Old Testament may be in types and in shadows, but it was always the gospel that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would one day come and he would be the only Messiah and the only Savior. And the only way anyone would ever be saved in any generation would be through faith in Jesus Christ. So the preaching of Christ's time was salvation in Christ alone, through faith alone. The preaching of the apostles and the Lord's true churches after his time upon earth was preaching of salvation in Christ alone, through faith alone. In the types and in the shadows and in the preaching of the prophets of the Old Testament, it was always the Messiah would come and salvation would be in the Messiah and the Messiah alone, through faith alone. Our message today is salvation in Christ alone, through faith alone. If you're here and you have anything other than Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection for your salvation and your faith that he died for you, you have not salvation. I don't care how complex your system of religion might be. I don't care how dedicated you might be to that system. If you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if God has not granted you repentance and faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone, you have not salvation. If you're here and you're lost, we lift up only one thing, and that is Jesus Christ. You're here and you're lost, God can save your soul. God is still saving souls.
Amen.
He's doing it through Christ alone, through faith alone. There's only one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. Back in Acts chapter 3, here, Peter preaching again, more properly preaching, says in verse 14, ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, Acts 3:14. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. They rejected Jesus Christ. They crucified Jesus Christ. They asked for a murderer to be set free in the place of Jesus Christ. But their only hope was in Christ alone, through faith alone. It's in his name, through faith in his name, that this one was made whole that was causing such a commotion here in Acts chapter 3. Look back to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Verse 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, Jesus is the Messiah, Jesus is the Anointed One. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. We have the Gospels to lift up Jesus. We must see Jesus. He is the only Savior. God must grant us faith. Give us that wonderful grace in order to be saved. We have the record of Scripture that we might see Jesus as the Christ, as the Messiah. See that he was indeed the Son of God, that we might believe, and by believing, be saved. Look over to Romans chapter 5. Just reading verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is in Christ alone, through faith alone. A sinner is saved when by the power and the quickening of the Holy Spirit, they see Jesus. And they see Jesus for who he was and who he is. And they believe he died for them. There is no salvation outside of Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ. Is Jesus Christ your Savior this afternoon? I'm not asking you, did you walk a church aisle? I'm not asking you, did the preacher pronounce you saved? I'm not asking you, did you answer the questions the preacher asked you when you walked the aisle? Did you answer those correctly? I'm asking you, have you ever truly come to the end of yourself, seeing yourself as a sinner, undone before a holy, righteous God, and seeing Jesus as your only hope of salvation? And know that God granted you faith to believe Jesus died for you. If you've never experienced that, you have no other need than that. No matter who you are, no matter how young you are, how old you might be, if you've never truly seen Jesus as the Son of God who died for sinners, and know and believe in your heart he died for you, if you've never seen that, that is your need. We pray God would have mercy upon your soul, and even this day, through the quickening of his Spirit, draw you to Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 12, verse 32 and 33, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." What was Christ talking about when he said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." Verse 33 answers the question. He was talking about his death. In verse 32, And I, if I be lifted from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Verse 33 says, this he said, signifying what death he should die. Salvation is in Christ alone. None other. And through faith in Christ alone. And Christ came to this earth in the form of a man and lived his perfect sinless life so that he might be lifted up from the earth and draw all manner of men to himself. And when he spoke of his being lifted up, he was talking about the cross that he was going to bear. There's only one way to be saved, through Christ. But it's not in his life. It's not in his miracles. But it's in his death for sinners that salvation is found. It is in the cross of Christ that one sees salvation, atonement, forgiveness, redemption, rightness with God. And Christ came specifically to be lifted up from the earth that he might save his people. Go with me to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Christ is dealing with Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. To paraphrase it, Jesus was dealing with a very, very religious man. One of the most religious individuals you probably could have found at this particular time. And he was dealing with a lost man. Because the lost man had not yet seen Jesus. Had not yet seen Jesus high and lifted up, dying for his sins, and had not yet put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And in dealing with this religious man, Nicodemus, Jesus says here in verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Christ, speaking of himself, is talking about how he came down from heaven. He left the throne of glory. And he came down. We have heard from Philippians and we have heard reference to his becoming a man, leaving his glory to take on the form of a servant. No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, Christ speaking of himself, tells us that he came down from heaven. And in verse number 14, he begins relating to Nicodemus and to us why he came down. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Salvation is in Christ alone, through faith alone. Jesus Christ left the throne of glory to come down to earth to be lifted up on the cross of Calvary. We see God's great love in Christ coming down to be lifted up upon the cross. We see God's grace. We see salvation. And there is no other means of salvation. Christ came down to be lifted up, to draw all men, all manner of men, unto himself. And he says in verse 15, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We quote verse 16 so often, but verse 16 is all about Christ coming down to be lifted up in the brutality of the cross. God so loved, he gave, he sent, he sacrificed his Son, that whosoever believes in Jesus shall not perish. But Christ is the only means of salvation, the only way of salvation, and faith in Christ is absolutely indispensable to salvation. Now here Christ says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In the Old Testament, there was a time when Moses formed a brazen serpent and he lifted it up in the camp. And Jesus says, as that serpent was lifted up, and by looking to that serpent, men were saved, I must be lifted up. And in looking to me, men will be saved. Look with me to Numbers 21. Numbers 21. Read along with me here the account of the brazen serpent, which Christ himself has identified for us in John 3 as a type of his death upon the cross. Numbers 21, verse 4, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. The soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Jesus tells us that this brazen serpent pictures his being lifted up upon the cross of Calvary. And as we consider here in Numbers chapter 21, the story and the account of the brazen serpent, we see the gospel. And I believe when the brazen serpent was placed in the camp and lifted up, the people of Israel, they were seeing a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself said, as that serpent was placed upon that pole and lifted up, that pictures how I must also be put upon a cross and lifted up. We find here in Numbers 21 that the people are in a terrible condition. We read here in verse number 6 that much people of Israel died. We read here in verse number 8 that God says that when He provides this means and when people look to it, they shall live. The condition of the people of Israel could be described as they were dead and they were dying. Once bitten of that serpent, death was within them. They were dead, as good as dead. And then physical death would follow. They were dead, and they were dying. And that describes the condition of every human soul. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. If you're here and you've never received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have never seen yourself as a sinner and seen Christ lifted up and believed He died for you, you're not dying, you are dead in your trespasses and in your sins. And you are dying physically. That's how desperate your condition is. The people of Israel were in a desperate condition. They were dead. That poison ran through them, and they were waiting to die physically. And this was caused because of sin. Verse number 7, and the people spake against God and against Moses. They sinned. They moaned and they groaned and they complained. Why have you brought us out this way? Did you bring us out of Egypt just to die in the wilderness? We don't have anything to eat. We don't have anything to drink. They acknowledged in verse number 7, we have sinned. We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord. Their condition was terrible. And their condition was because of sin. They were dead in their trespasses and sins, and they were dying because they were sinners. You who are saved, you and I who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we were once dead in our trespasses and in our sins. But then we saw Jesus. We didn't see a baby in a manger. We didn't see a young boy teaching in the temple. We didn't see a young man who could perform the greatest of miracles. When we were dead in our trespasses and sins, we saw Jesus high and lifted up, dying for us on the cross of Calvary. And we understood by the grace of God and by the Spirit of God that He was dying because we had the sin problem and we were dead and we were dying and we were without hope. And God gave us faith to believe that He was dying for us. And believing that He was dying for us, we now live. Now in this record of Numbers 21, we see the condition, we see the cause of that condition. Praise God, we see the cure. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. This is the cure still today for sin. And everybody here that has received the cure, it's the same cure.
Amen.
It's Jesus Christ being lifted up on the cross of Calvary for our sins. It's interesting to note that the people had their own idea of what they needed. We have sinned, we have spoken against the Lord, they said in verse number 7. And they said to Moses, Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. That's our solution. You pray and ask God to take the serpents away. They would have still died. Their way wouldn't have worked. Man's way never works. Your way of salvation will not work. You can dig your heels in if you're here and you're fighting it, you're resisting it, you think you've got a better way or another way. You can fight it until the day you die. But if you die without Jesus Christ, you will open your eyes in a place called hell, and finally you will realize there's only one cure. That's the one God provided. We don't need any new and improved ways. We didn't. We see that the people had their way. There are many ways that people have of being saved today. But God only has one way. Only one way. Look at Acts 4. You know the passage well. Acts 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any others. How narrow is it? No other way. Only Jesus. His death upon the cross. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. As wonderful as that verse is, folks, it's a very narrow verse. God gave one sacrifice for sin. His Son. And he is only received through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am not a way, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So as we look at this portion of Scripture in Numbers, we see a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see a type of Christ being crucified and lifted up upon the cross for the salvation of man's soul. We see in this a universal need in all mankind, and that is the need for a Savior because of sin. And only one cure and only one way being provided. As we dissect and consider this passage of Scripture further, let me rush through, as time flees by, so many other things that we see in this portion of Scripture. We see in Numbers chapter 1 that men are dead and they're dying. We've already mentioned that. That simply reinforces a central message in the Scripture. and that is sin is terminal. Sin is always terminal. Sin always pays, and it always pays death. Every single human being will one day die, proving the wages of sin are always demanded by God. And every human being born into this world is born dead. We're not just sinners by practice, but we're born defective and born with a sin nature. We come into this earth broken. And every one of us needs a Savior.
Amen.
Every one of these people needed a Savior, and it was because of sin. The serpent was placed upon a pole. That pole is representative of the cross that Jesus Christ was crucified upon. But the pole should not become the focus.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The cross was the instrument upon which Christ died, and he had to die that way. He couldn't have been stoned, he couldn't have been hung, he couldn't have been killed any other way. But the cross, the pole, wasn't where the focus was supposed to be. It was the sacrifice upon that pole, the sacrifice upon that cross that men must see, and that was Jesus Christ.
Yes, sure.
Looking upon this serpent represented the act of faith. Looking upon the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross requires one believing that he died for them in order to be saved. When they looked, they lived. It still works that way today. When you truly look to Jesus in faith, you live. That truly is our message. I love that song. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. We have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's a sin problem. Men are dead and men are dying, but if they'll look and they will live. Now the serpent was lifted up just as Christ was lifted up upon the cross. The serpent had to be looked to in faith, as you must look to Christ in faith in order to be saved. The serpent was the only remedy, as we've noticed, that God provided. Jesus is the only remedy for sin today. Now the serpent, it is said, was a representation of the curse. What was it there in the book of Genesis that introduced the temptation to Adam and Eve to sin? It was the serpent. Because they yielded to the serpent, a curse fell upon them, and a curse fell upon the earth, and a curse fell upon all of man. Serpent represents to us curse. Bible says, whosoever hangs upon a tree is cursed. Christ took our curse. Became sin for us that we might live. When you think about the serpent being made out of brass, and you study brass throughout Scripture, and it speaks of God's judgment. When Jesus Christ was placed upon that cross, he was suffering the judgment of God, not for his sins, but for our sins. Our sins had been placed upon him, and he suffered God's judgment because of our sins. God still judges sin. Sinners that think they will get away with their sin, they're sadly mistaken. People who think they're going to get out of this life not having to have dealt with Jesus Christ, they're mistaken. God will judge all. And when you think about judgment, you study it through Scripture, there's often the representation of brass God told the people in Isaiah's day that his judgment would fall upon them, the sky would be as brass. In Revelations chapter 1 and in chapter 3, I believe it is, Jesus Christ is described as having feet of brass. He's coming to judge. The brazen serpent was made out of brass, picturing for us that God was judging our sins in the place of Jesus Christ. When they looked to the serpent, they received physical life. When one looks to Christ, they receive spiritual life. In John chapter 5, verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." He that hears and believes has passed from death unto life. Look over to John chapter 6. Begin reading with verse number 25 here. Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." Christ came down to do the will of the Father. And all that look to him in faith shall live. There's types that we have seen in these sermons on types. When the people moaned and groaned against God and Moses, they says, "We loathe this light bread." They says, "We just don't like the taste of this manna." That manna was a type of Christ. Here in this reading of John 6, he is the bread of life. We have seen that he is the water of life. If Christ is taken, he gives life. When Christ is looked to, he gives life. Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." Look to Isaiah chapter 45. Verse 22. Isaiah 45, verse 22. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." Look unto me and be saved. Jesus Christ is the only way, the only Savior. There are no multiple ways, there's only one way. Jesus Christ came that he might be lifted up upon the cross to save us from our sins. We're saved and we ought to rejoice in our salvation because Jesus Christ came to be lifted up as the brazen serpent. And we ought to praise and rejoice that God granted us repentance and faith to see that it was for us that he died. We ought to rejoice that he's granted us repentance and faith. Let us not forget that our message must always be Jesus. In our church services and all that we do, people need to see Jesus. We come together tomorrow on the Lord's Day, people need to see Jesus. In all that we do, he's their only hope. If you're here and you're lost, you need to see Jesus. I can't save you. This pastor can't save you. This church can't save you. All the churches that are represented here can't get together and do something impressive to bring about your salvation. It's only Jesus. You must see him dying on the cross. And by faith, know and believe that he died for you. The brazen serpent is a picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all that look will live. And may God help us to rejoice that he gave us the sight to look, the faith to believe. And may we never stop lifting up Jesus or praying for the lost that they might see Jesus dying for their sins.